We'll check how financial markets are adjusting to what seems a more uncertain world this morning, plus a huge pharmaceutical merger that'll help a U.S. company pay less U.S. taxes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, to markets amid the investigation into the origins of what U.S. authorities say was the missile that downed Malaysia Flight 17 and Israeli ground forces moving into the Gaza Strip. At moments like these, the reflex of investors is to buy what they perceive to be the safest government bonds they can find, which creates the demand for U.S. bonds, and yields can drift down. The yield on the 10-year note is down nearly a percent to 2.48% this morning. The 30-year yield is also sharply down at 3.29. And money moves out of perceived risk, that is to say stocks. The FT 100 index in London is down 0.2%. The DAX in Germany down 0.8%. After the Dow fell 161 points yesterday, nearly a percent, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are flat so far today. Stock in Malaysia Airlines, which has now lost two passenger airliners in 4 months, is down more than 11%. Now to what is the latest huge merger in the pharmaceutical business. There's news today that AbbVie of Chicago is buying Shire of Britain for $54 billion. Shire has many charms, but prominent among them is its street address. The last line of that address is United Kingdom, meaning a merged company would pay lower British corporate taxes. This is the latest example of the controversial tax maneuver known as the inversion. Gustav Ando is director of healthcare and pharma at the consulting group IHS. He joins us from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? Is this merger about drugs? Is it about taxes?
It's a little bit of both. There is a strategic rationale behind this merger, which goes beyond any kind of tax incentive. What you have with AbbVie is a company that is heavily, heavily reliant on one product, and it needs to diversify its risks anyway. There certainly is a tax angle to this, and nobody's really been hiding that, but certainly there is an important pharmaceutical rationale for this merger as well.
For people who don't follow this day-to-day, AbbVie used to be Abbott Labs until last year, and this is the piece that was hived off. What is their blockbuster drug? It's an anti-inflammatory, right?
That's right. It's a rheumatoid arthritis treatment. Humira, the name of this drug, is what you would call a blockbuster drug. It's very effective and obviously generates an enormous amount of revenues for AbbVie.
But in a couple of years, I think they lose intellectual property protection. I think the patent runs out.
Yeah. So AbbVie is in this position where it has to be able to replace the revenues that it's expected to lose once Humira goes off patent. And AbbVie itself has a pretty good pipeline, but you never know. There are a lot of hurdles to get a drug to market and to achieve that kind of revenue that Humira has achieved over the years.
But again, let's not forget, they also have a nice UK tax address, which could save AbbVie some money.
Absolutely. The tax rate would be reduced pretty substantially from about 22% to about 13%. But there are risks to this as well. You know, Congress are not happy about this. This is not the first takeover that has been characterized by a tax rationale as well in the United States. So Congress is on the backs of these companies. And some of the suggestions have been to actually retroactively fix this situation, so to speak, and to actually punish the companies that have adopted this kind of strategy. So there are risks there, absolutely. I think that most people are working on the assumption that that won't happen, but you never know.
Gustav Ando at IHS in London, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now to personal finance and schools. Marketplace's economics guy Chris Farrell was reading a magazine column noting the passing of what was once a fundraising tradition, the school bake sale. People worry about food safety and hidden allergens in baked stuff with uncertain ingredients, and that needs to be respected. But there were lessons in bake sales that were valuable, and here with some ideas to replace those is Mr. Farrell. Greetings, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So Jean Chatsky was the Fortune columnist, and she thought, okay, great, less sugar, that's okay. But she thinks something may have been lost when we moved away from the bake sale.
It's real life lessons in money. You know, you're selling, you're making an exchange, and she rightly bemoans the loss of this kind of a lesson at a time when we're really concerned about financial literacy. So why not put a greater stress around a 19th century idea, which is the school-based bank?
Wait a minute, like students could actually save actual money down at school.
That's right. The first one was in the late 19th century, Long Island City. It was a Belgian immigrant, and he set up a school-based bank. By 1928, 46 states had these school-based banks, 4 million student participants. And if I did the calculation right, the equivalent of $123 million on deposit.
That's actually a lot of money. So the Great Depression comes and goes. It's not kind to these little school banks. And I don't know, by the time I get to school, I have never seen one.
No, and they largely disappeared. Plus, the sort of discussion about money had changed. It had gone from being a smart saver to being a smart consumer. And so these thrift savings banks, they were kind of an anachronism. The good news is they've been coming back in this era of concerns about financial literacy. I visited one in Wisconsin. It's next to the cafeteria. This is a high school. And it's the old janitor's broom closet.
Okay, so not sort of the soaring ceilings of the traditional bank with the big vault, but, you know, it gets the job done. And you're saying when students have actual skin in the game, they suddenly start to focus on what all the savings is about.
Well, yes. It has a physical presence. You have bankers involved. You have students involved in running this bank. All of a sudden, it comes alive. And that's how we learn. We don't learn from abstraction. We learn just as we learn with the bake sale, from making something real and having a transaction.
Marketplace's economics guy, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
And there's word that the shipping company FedEx has been indicted for conspiring to illegally ship prescription painkillers. It's about allegedly shipping drugs from online pharmacies despite repeated government warnings. It stems from a Drug Enforcement Agency investigation that has stretched for years. The potential fine could run as high as $1.6 billion. FedEx denies wrongdoing. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.